Knockout.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
This is your favorite knockout, Tara.
This is WWE superstar, The Miz.
It's me, DDP, and you're listening on The Rock with God.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the Wrestling Radio Awards Best News Show, The Rock.
People are sheep, you understand me? They can't lead themselves, they need to be led. People buy and sell fear. I created war. And I think it's time for the masses to wake up.
Wake up and look at this line they're living in, man!
The world is deteriorating between their toes, and they do nothing about it. They only stand there, they whisper and wonder, but they never do anything about it. But I've seen it all in my dreams and in my thoughts. And above everything else, I understand.
This is not the beginning. Stand.
Giving you unique insights into the world of professional wrestling in WWE.
Aw, Puddin'. You know, you've always been pretty, but you've never been the smart one in this relationship.
And TNA.
Look at these bookmarks they found.
My gosh, can two human beings even do that? Hey, but you know, my secretary borrows this all the time. She may have put some of that on there.
Yeah, look at, as a lawyer, you gotta be careful with this kind of stuff. Look at, we're buddies, right?
Well, yeah, you and my brother are best friends.
I'm worried about you. I'm pretty much a scientist now. I'm gonna help you with this. We're gonna get to the bottom of it.
How? What?
I'm gonna borrow your pad. I'm gonna check out the rest of these.
Borrow the pad? That's
your flavor, man. I know.
Wait a minute.
The bottom of it.
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
If you smell la 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 la, what the sock is cooking?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Good evening, everyone. That's right, it's that time of week again. The Rack is bringing to you our one and only unique recap of WWE NE's Total Divas. We are going to sit here and watch the show with you if you're watching it with us, or if you're not. Follow along, listen to our witty, insightful comments. We're occasionally funny, we're occasionally not funny. I think we fall somewhere in between. So stay tuned, buckle up, listen, have fun, enjoy, go grab a drink as Rock and I sit here and we recap the show.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns...
After 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moment... And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I, once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW is pimping.
Every Thursday night, we bring to you The Rack.
These people yearn for enlightenment. Who do they have to turn to? Who do they have to place upon a pedestal so that they may bask in the glow of their own essence? In short, the answer is no one.
We bring you a complete recap of Impact Wrestling, along with all of the latest news and unique discussions about the world of professional wrestling.
Sure, there are those who attempt to appeal to the unwashed masses, but they are nothing more than false prophets whom I will expose.
Join us Thursday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern, for The Wrap.
I am the bright beam of enlightenment that will serve as the avenging sword of taste and decency.
Redefining pro wrestling talk from the fans, for the fans, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You're welcome!
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio. Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
All right, folks, we are back from the break, and as the Keeping Up with the Kardashians ends with Chris and whatever the other guy's name is, Jenner, whatever, I don't know, I don't watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians, we fade into Total Divas, where we have Nikki and Brie driving in her ever-so-expensive car on their way to somewhere.
Money doesn't go on trees, but she would pick a tree if it did.
And they're now trying to figure out whether it's tree trimmer or tree cutter.
She blames her education for not being able to speak words. She likes small words.
I always thought that if you were an athlete and you were a scholar athlete, or you were an athlete in school, that, you know, you had to be scholarly and learn things.
They make up their own words because they don't speak English. They're arguing over who won. Were they right? Was it cutter? Was it a trimmer? Whatever it was. So the one thing we notice now, they have a brand new intro for the show.
Yeah, basically the first one was obviously the pilot episode. They liked the pilot, so now we get the full version.
Mm-hmm. We're now 3 weeks in, we get the full version because everyone has clips now.
Yes.
So here we are.
With Bray and Brian in their very, very messy hotel room.
Mm-hmm. Where they struggle to pack. It's going to be a running theme of the show.
Who's going to do a chance with her dog?
I don't know. Apparently Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella video chat with a dog. They're FaceTiming with the dog. They miss their dog. Aww.
Well, this is basically when, you know, folks can't have kids right away, or they can't have a kid in general. They compensate with a dog.
It's the first step. Can they handle a dog, and then you get a kid?
Yeah. And so they have made the decision that they are going to move to Phoenix, and the reason is so she can see Josie more.
Mm-hmm. But now she doesn't want to tell her sister. So what Brian said was, you tell her, bitch, we're moving to Phoenix. And reaction was, Bryan Danielson, really? She'll punch you in your face.
That was amazing.
And now we move on to the other relationship, Trinity and one of the Usos.
John Uso, which I have to admit, they are really cute together. And she's, her weave is apparently moving.
And now he's noticing something. Something's not there.
She forgot to put her wedding ring or her engagement ring back on.
She doesn't want to lose her ring.
If you leave it in jewelry cleaner right that, like that, it's going to get messed up. Mm-hmm. That's a nice ring.
It is a nice ring. He paid some money, he paid some money for it. Go ahead.
And he just bit her in the ass.
Mm-hmm. Now we have Eva Marie and JoJo. As they're training at NXT.
Oh, hey, look, there's Summer Rae in the background. Mm-hmm. There's Summer Rae!
Mm-hmm. With Eva Marie. Huh. Amazing.
Is this before... This can't be before they went to Full Sail.
They don't train at Full Sail.
It'd be awesome if they did.
No, they only did their shows at Full Sail. They had their. That's why they built the center, so they could get out wherever this was.
I was going to say, because that's worse than OVW.
Apparently this was a step up from where they originally were in Florida.
Oh, God. Oh, DeMott's telling Eva Marie to control her body, and then, well, what happens? JoJo gets hurt.
I just find that he was telling her to control her body means, you know, you can, you know, slut, keep your legs closed. That's how you control your body. Oh, he meant through the wrestling. Got it.
Yeah.
But yeah, JoJo took a bad fall.
She knocked her head. She's got just given herself a concussion. Mm-hmm. But I like how it says head athletic trainer, WWE Performance Center. Mm-hmm. Not NXT Performance Center.
Well, because it's now, you know, officially the Performance Center is launched, so. They're giving the official title.
Ah.
Even though the timing's off, it's still, you know. Now we have Trinity and John again. He's asking, why don't you have your ring on when we're at work?
And now we're getting the excuse the divas need to appear single so she can't wear her engagement ring.
Right, they need to appear to be gettable.
Even though this show completely
ruins that whole
thing. That.
Yeah. He's like, when we get married, bam, it just stays on. Is that how it goes?
He's a lot like his daddy. Mm-hmm. And she's basically explaining this is just business, it's not personal, that...
Right, but he's taking it personally.
Basically now he's starting to push for a date. And she don't want to give it.
No, she don't.
It's, honey, you've been engaged for 2 years. You need to at least set a date.
And now,
if this is going to go.
Mm-hmm. And now the moment of truth comes. Brie has to tell Nikki she's moving. Now she's talking about having sex with John Cena without saying I had sex with John Cena.
And the fangirls die, just a little bit.
Yeah. three exercises by looking in the mirror. Yeah. Just, yeah.
Because looking good motivates her to...
Mm-hmm. Keep exercising.
Yeah.
And Nikki is so working out hard on that treadmill. Or Stairmaster, whatever she's on.
She's been holding this off for a couple weeks and they're moving like tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And now she's giving the excuse of the dog and... And now Nikki tries to stop Bree from going by saying there's friends, there's dog sitters that you could leave a dog with. And that's a valid point. Angie'sList.com, dog sitters, go. Mm-hmm. Care.com, dog sitters, go.
But she doesn't want a dog sitter. She wants to be with her own actual dog.
In Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
And now Nikki's complaining about the fact of who's going to take care of the website, who's going to take care of the eBay stuff, who's going to take care of the mailings, who's going to do all of that if Bree goes to Phoenix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you gotta worry about those eBays and those mailings because they're the most important things in the world.
You know, never mind your sister's happiness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not about moving in with a boyfriend, soon to be husband. No, you've got to worry about our eBays and our mailings.
So, as we head into the break, we're going to reflect a little bit while they're at commercial. So, interesting first little bit of the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. a lot of relationship drama. And this time, it's not just between, you know, the guys and the girls. It's the girls and the girls between Nikki and Bree.
And Nikki's going to get her inner bitch on here shortly. I have a really funny feeling on that. But it's interesting because we were having this conversation in a show prep once of, well, what happens when Nikki and Brian, or I'm sorry, when Bree and Brian want to branch out on their own, where does that leave Nikki? Because as they've explained in the show, they have a very special twin bond. They've been together their whole lives.
Mm-hmm.
And they have lived apart. I'm not saying that they haven't, but this is now going to be a more permanent separation, especially if Nikki and Brian stay in Phoenix, or I'm sorry, Bree and Brian, good lord if I could get them right. Bree and Brian could stay in Phoenix and Nikki goes off to live with John in Tampa, because he's not going to sell that house.
No, and it's not about living apart. That's not the issue. The issue is she's moving in with somebody.
Right, and Nikki is still on her own and still cannot get John to necessarily commit.
Because,
this is just
because we were looking around and we found their website the other day, and it said that they were living apart. One lived in Tampa, one lived in San Diego, or Bree was living in New York at one point.
Yeah, Bree was in New York last year, I think. And so, yeah, they can live apart. That's not the issue. It's that further emphasis that Bree and Brian are in a better place right now than Nikki and John. They're in a more secure, stable place.
Right. They're in a committed relationship.
Right. I mean, I keep waiting for that ring to, you know, just sort of sneak up on Bree's hand where we don't really notice that she's randomly engaged.
Right.
Kind of thing.
Right. So we'll see what happens.
We will totally see what happens. As we come back in San Diego with the Bellas.
As Nikki is at some restaurant, as they're talking about a movie they booked. Nikki's on time, and, well, Bree's not there yet.
Basically, they're having a meeting for a movie, which is actually Confessions of a Womanizer.
Fitting.
Again, we went on their website.
Fitting title for them.
And Bree forgot the meeting, so Nikki's left on her own, and Bree's going to be there as soon as she can.
So Nikki has to come up with the lie, saying, where is Brie? They're waiting for Brie, but where is she?
And Nikki's pissed because, you know, moving is apparently more important than their career. Well, yeah, if you've ever done a major move, especially out of state, kind of is important.
Right. And in her mind, Daniel Bryan's not doing anything. She's doing all the work.
Right.
And then they're talking about how, oh, she's, you know, is she normally late? No, she's early. And now the director's like, we have to put more time in for her to set, and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah. Basically, Nikki's trying to tap dance to cover for Brie, and it's not going so well.
Now they're talking about adding stunts to the movie, and will they be doing their own stunts? And they're saying, yeah, we'll do. Nikki's talking about, hell yeah, we'll do the stunts.
And the agent's like, I don't know, and Nikki's just pissed.
And Brie finally shows up and talks about how there's parking issues, and yada, yada, yada. And they talk about how they've been fighting their entire lives. Fighting each other, that is.
Ever since they were in the womb. Aw, such precious moments. And then we get the surprise. JoJo has a boyfriend. He shows up out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And they're sweethearts, because she's apparently known him since she was 5, which is some weird-ass Harry Potter stuff. And now he's meeting Eva Marie.
And they talk about JoJo's concussion.
And he came to see her because he's worried about her concussion.
Mm-hmm. Conveniently, he shows up about her concussion.
And they go for a walk on the beach. Who celebrates their 11th month anniversary?
I don't know. You know, you could do 6 months, you could do 12 months, 11. It's kind of weird.
And now we're going to watch the Bellas work out more.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Nikki's upset because now when Bree's gone, they can't work out together either. Because they do certain activities that the both of them do together. How will Nikki stay in shape?
I'm pretty sure John can help her with that.
Oh, can he? Can he? Really? What can he do to help her stay in shape?
I'm sure he could give her a little booty workout. And now Brie is telling Nikki all about their brand new place in Phoenix. It's a townhome in the nicest area. And she's asking her sister to come over and help as Nikki is, you know, punching and, well, her punches are getting a little aggressive.
Oh, just a tad. They were a tad aggressive. They were hurting Bree's hands.
And now JoJo says she has to go to practice, and now her boyfriend is like, no, you need to stay with me. Wow, that's some really pink lipstick.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that was really pink. Really stands out.
That's like 80s neon pink lipstick, wow. Okay.
Now her boyfriend's making her choose between wrestling or him.
Which is a jerk move. Because he's a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
She asks why her boyfriend has to make her feel bad, and the answer is because he's a jerk.
Pretty much, yeah. It's pretty much how he's rolling. That's how he's rolling in this situation.
It's basically he didn't fly in because he was worried about her concussion. He flew in to convince her to come back with him.
Right.
And now he's forced the choice, and she doesn't know what she's going to do, and, well, he's prepared to leave. Because she's not ready to go with him.
And now he's storming away.
Which, there seems to be a huge chunk of that missing, so we probably missed the argument between the two.
Mm-hmm.
Because basically he probably didn't want to have it on camera.
Right. Oh, apparently the Divas are going to be on... We're on,
The Soup.
The Soup this week. Might have to check that out, too.
Hmm. They're actually on tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, fancy. Or I should say Wednesday night. Depending on when we release
this. That's why I said this week. But... We didn't learn much out of that except for that JoJo has a boyfriend being a dick and making her choose.
And, well, Nikki and Bree have further issues.
Pretty much, yeah, but it's going to be a constant theme in this episode. Bella issues, boyfriend issues, and marriage issues, which we'll probably get some more of when we come back from... the break.
Yes, because they tease this fight between John and Trinity, so...
Now, I'll ask you a question. Would you ever choose guy over your career?
Would I choose a guy over my career?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, if it was the only thing I ever wanted to do in my life?
Yes, if it was something, the only thing you ever wanted to do and you were getting involved in that profession.
I don't think, honestly, I could. You know, it's kind of one of those things that it's if it's something that I've always wanted to do and always wanted to pursue, then it would be, you know, obviously it would be try to work something out.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end, it's like, well, if you're not going to support me in this, then maybe it's just best if you go, because it's something if I go back with him or if I give it up for him, then I'm going to regret it.
Right.
That's something I've got to deal with. And it's like, then you spend your whole life wondering, well, could I have done it? And in her case, it's like, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. She'll never get anything like this again.
Right. Exactly. This is the one chance she has to make it as a pro wrestler, get in the business, learn the business, and, you know, if he can't accept that, then he, you know, she should move on from him.
I mean, it's something of, if the distance is a problem or whatever, there are ways to correct that. He can move closer. You know, it's if this is her dream and you really love her and you really want to be with her, then it's something of, well, she's making the sacrifice, so would it kill you to make a sacrifice too?
Right, exactly.
Because honestly, you know, at least from what we know of JoJo, which isn't really anything, it seems like she would... If the roles were reversed, she would make the sacrifice for him.
Right.
But we're getting more into that now. As we see come back and we see Trinity and John in the ring working each other.
Mm-hmm. She threw her ass into his face.
Which I'm sure he enjoyed.
Now she has the moment of she has to do a leg drop onto him.
And she's hesitant.
Mm-hmm.
And she's scared of it. And DeMott's telling her to do it, and Uso will compensate as need be.
Right, and he's like, just do it, just do it. And she's just got to get over it. And he says this on the face, like, what? Now he compares her to Eva Marie. And that was an awful leg drop.
It was an awful leg drop, but she's like, sorry if I break your face.
Mm-hmm. But that was an awful leg drop.
And now DeMott's berating her for wondering why she's so indecisive, and basically mm-hmm. John airs their dirty laundry in front of Bill DeMott.
Now she's pissed. And now he's comparing, you know, your indecision, your indecisiveness carries you over into the ring.
Well, it's apparent it does. Mm-hmm. Or at least when she's working with him, it does.
Right. But hey, she's wearing the ring.
She's wearing the ring, but he tells her, he's not going to wait forever. He's pushing the issue. He wants the dates. And what this really boils down to is he wants a date.
Mm-hmm. He wants the full commitment.
Yeah, that's what he wants from her, is he wants the commitment. He's ready to go. He's committed. She's not. And she gives the excuse of the right timing, to which he just sighs. And says she's so indecisive.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not happy.
No, he's not.
And now we see Eva Marie and JoJo in the car.
And JoJo's now explaining the decision to Eva Marie, either him or, you know, the business.
And basically JoJo is considering quitting.
Right.
And Eva is confused and doesn't think she should quit. And speaking of not having an engagement ring on...
Well, she's going to practice. She doesn't need to wear it for practice. She needs to seem available at practice.
That or he hasn't... This was shot out of order and he hasn't proposed yet.
That could be it, too. Eva Marie calls, you know, her boyfriend selfish, and George is like, everything will work out as it should work out.
Which is the right attitude to have. There's no point in stressing about it if she can't really do anything. It's up to him.
Mm-hmm.
And now we see Brian and Bree packing.
And Nikki comes over with a box.
One very big box and in huge heels.
Mm-hmm.
With her boobs hanging out.
And now we're getting to where she's talking about her one outfit gives her camel toe.
In front of Brian.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause that's the conversation you want to have in front of your future brother-in-law.
Yeah. She talks about her big boobs gives her camel toe because the outfit, you know, comes up and just and catches onto her vagina.
And then she grabs her boobs and her vagina. Thank you very much.
Just to accentuate the point.
And then she proceeds to sit down on the bed as Bree and Brian wrap their sculpture.
That they can't find the piece for. And she starts judging them. I guess this is why it takes you guys forever to get this done.
And now we have Nikki getting her bitch on.
Nikki's throwing a fit. She has all attitude. You missed the meeting, yada, yada, yada. Bree's telling her, why be here if you're going to have this attitude? And now she's like, why are you guys moving for a dog? Why are you moving for a dog? Really, a dog? It's pathetic.
And I love how she tells Brian, it's like, why you even let her get a dog,
given
our travel schedule, is stupid. And now she's complaining about having to do everything for the website, even though the website is managed by somebody else.
It's a horrible website. She threw the biggest hissy fit, bitch fit, whatever you want to call it, right there. And it's like... You know, you're doing this for a dog, really?
And for the record, they're not necessarily doing it for the dog. Because, honestly, if they're just doing it for a dog, that is kind of a weak reason. But they're doing it because basically... what do you do when you get married? Or what do you do when you're getting ready to settle down and potentially have kids? Well, you move closer to family.
Mm-hmm. And where's family? Arizona.
Zona. Well, plus, it's a nice compromise for Bree and Brian as far as where they were going to live.
Right. It's not. They're getting a nice house in Arizona. It's not in a major city. It's, you know, it's not in one of the big cities: Los Angeles, San Diego, New York, etc. It's still out of the way. It's not the big city for Brian. It keeps him, you know, level-headed, grounded, and it gives her the nice weather she wants. Plus, it's near family, so that's the most important part. They're near family.
Yeah, it's not about her being near the dog. It's her being near family. That's what it is. And even though Nikki is her family, she's near her mother.
Right, and with Nikki running around on the same schedule, is like, if they were to start a family, Nikki's on the road all the time. She can't help.
Right, so it's something of, well, if Bree and Brian decide to have kids, then, well, Nikki can't take care of them, as you said, so somebody's going to have to watch them, so... Hi, Mom!
Hi, Mom. Hi, brother. You want to help out? And that's the point.
Pretty much. Yeah, that's really what kind of the issue is they're testing the process with Josie, and then if the process goes well, then...
Right, it's what every couple does. You get a dog, or a cat, or whatever. You get the animal, and then you see... You take care of that for a year or so, and you wonder, maybe we can have kids.
Yeah, it's that emphasis of, well, they're in a different place. Because another thing that we talked about was, and again, we're going way too deep with this stuff, but it's, for Bree and Brian, they're getting this townhouse in Phoenix. And it's their house. It's their place. They picked it together. It's not one is moving into someone else's house. They're coming to this on equal mutual terms. Whereas for Nikki, if she were to move into with John, it would be into John's house.
Right. John's not getting her a house. For them, it's come live with me in my home. You're coming into my house. And that's it. We're not getting a home together.
Right. And I think also it's... Pretty much anything Nikki would have with John would mostly be his, because he obviously makes the money in the relationship, not her.
Seriously? John Cena makes money? Wow. I couldn't tell by all those fancy cars and the big house and the pool and the empty walls.
Maybe he's not an art person?
I guess not. And we're back to we're at the WWE training facility for some more practice.
And they're running drills as JoJo's watching.
Right. Hey, look, Natty's there.
Hi, Natty.
She's there. She's there to practice.
There to practice and teach them, and so that way she can, you know, get to know them and kick their butts properly when they get up to the main roster. You know, that's how it goes.
One thing I did notice was, on watching this, one of them is actually wearing the headgear that they implemented a few months ago when they're first starting to train, which is really good.
That's really awesome. Why is it Natty's hair looks fantastic in everything she does? That's annoying. It's awesome, but it's annoying.
And she was just working, you know, wrestling, and now her hair is perfect. You wish you had the perfect hair, don't you?
I wish I had Natty's hair. I wish my hair did that.
Now Natty and JoJo are having a thoughtful, heart-to-heart conversation.
And basically, Natty is trying to convince her not to give up because this is basically because of the opportunity that JoJo has. And she's trying to make JoJo see that it's basically, you know, if he's going to break up with you, he's going to break up with you. And it's don't waste the chance for someone that's not being supportive.
Right, and she was being blunt with her. You might not make it, and she got up a little upset about that, but... She was being blunt with her. telling her the truth.
She's being honest, and that's true. She may not make it.
Right, but just being on the show is not a guarantee, you know, you get on TV.
Yeah, the thing is the way that at least the smart fans know the way that developmental for WWE works is it's not you're down in developmental for 6 months and then they call you up. You're down in developmental for a year to 2 years. Sometimes guys and girls never make it out of the developmental system.
Right, and like, even if you get caught up, a lot of them still are in developmental.
Right.
And now we have Nikki and John in the car together.
And she's checking out her pimple.
Mm-hmm.
And he's giving her crap about the pimple.
You have a skin malfunction. You're now human. And now he rubs his nipple.
And now she's telling them about Brian and Brie.
I flipped out on them, what, this time? And she gave him a look. What do you mean this time? I told I hated them.
Oh my god, your sister's boyfriend is all about her.
Uh-huh.
And John's like, how is that bad?
Right. And Cena's talking how Brian's not a bad guy.
And now Cena puts Brian over. And how he's got good intentions.
John's now talking about, you know, you just need someone to blame, and, you know, and that happens, and...
Then we get the line of the show. Well, not yet, but basically, Nikki realizes she was basically looking for somebody to blame, and that person was Brian.
Yeah. You know, a scapegoat.
And that's the line of the show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they're a special couple.
Yeah. Am I the only one wondering where his hand was that entire car ride?
I was not looking. I was not even thinking that. You were thinking it was around his thing.
No, around her thing, actually. Because he had his hand on... It looked like he had his hand either holding hers, but then when both of hers are up and his is across the thing. Yeah. Anyway, we're back with Trinity and John, sorry. Other John. And they're about to get into it. And she's over, you know, basically talking about when we're going to get married.
Right.
She doesn't know, and it's like, well, that's not the best attitude to have if you're engaged.
She's flipping out, you know, want me to make all these decisions, I'm 25, blah, 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 blah.
Then why did you say yes?
Right.
It's not something that if he puts a pretty shiny ring on your finger and you get to walk around with it, you got to do the deed in order to be able to do that, or else eventually you're going to lose him.
Right. He wants to take the first step with her, and she's not willing to take it, and he's pissed.
Yeah, he wants that one step. He wants her to say, yes, let's get married. He's not telling you, hey, let's go down to the courthouse and get married right now.
No, just commit to me, fully. And he gets pissed, and he's packing a bag, and he's storming out. And I like how there wasn't a glass when he walked out, now there's a glass on the counter. And he smashes the glass.
Where it's strategically just placed right where it's going to smack the corner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The glass wasn't there when he left, but maybe, you know, editing where he's come back into the conversation, but it's just conveniently there. conveniently there.
Well, somebody may have gotten a drink. We don't know.
We don't know.
Because you can't pack a bag like that in 5 seconds.
Oh, I know. Oh, I know. It was just funny. I was like, huh. It wasn't there a minute ago. Now we're getting a preview for what's coming up after the break, and apparently they're wrestling each other. So, yeah. That was some interesting stuff, especially between John and Nikki.
Yeah, it kind of was. We're basically... It's... I don't know what it is about their relationship that just seems, I guess, odd, because he looks at her like... He just wants to do her all the time.
Well, he is a guy.
Well, he is a guy, but it's just, it's, you look at, and I guess that's the different stage of the relationship. It's like, it's kind of interesting because you see all the other relationships, mm-hmm. and they're not overtly sexual. They're not.
No, they're not.
Whereas Nikki and John is an incredibly overtly sexual relationship, and I guess maybe that's, they're still in that beginning stage. And everybody else has kind of moved beyond that and past that. I don't know. But it's just, it's kind of interesting how you see them together and then you see everybody else. And there's just something about that relationship that almost doesn't seem real.
But apparently they've been dating for a year.
I don't know how seriously they've been dating. But yes, they've been dating for a year. But yeah, there's just, I don't know. It doesn't feel like a real, I guess, committed in quotations relationship. It's just, it's kind of interesting the things that you notice.
Yeah, you pick up on things. They're very openly flirtatious and sexual with one another. Especially John.
Yes. So does that answer, you know, leave the question open of, is she just the rebound girl? Is she just there for a good time? Or does he have more intentions?
So for a good call, for a good time, John calls 1-800-BELLA?
I guess.
Because it'd be weird if he was calling 1-800-FELLA?
Well, he and Seamus could have a good time, but I don't think it's the good time that we're thinking of. I'm pretty sure, though, that they could go get a couple beers and have a blast.
Oh, they probably could have a couple pints and they'd be good together, but, you know. I don't think that's a good time John Cena's looking for. Which is why he's calling 1-800-BELLA.
With a B.
With a B. Fella. yeah, and we're back. Thank God. That joke was running its course.
Filler! Yay, filler. And now we're back at the apartment where Bree's counting on the boxes.
And Nikki just walks in.
Hey, I have those cabinets in my place. Actually, that's pretty much what my kitchen looks like.
She's and now apologizing.
Yes, and here is Nikki to say, I was wrong, I'm sorry.
My emotions took over, and I was just looking for someone to blame.
And so I blamed Brian.
Mm-hmm. And now Bree's happy that her sister is apologizing and supportive. And that Bree will be more sensitive to
yes.
Nikki's feelings.
And we come to find out that Brian basically told Bree, you know, what's up from Nikki's POV, which is kind of interesting.
Right. And now they're talking about their high heels. How are day shoes or heels?
Those are your day shoes?
That's what she called them. They're her day shoes. Not flip-flops. They're the heels. They're day shoes. Where I went to get the box had only one big box. So you're welcome. I got you a big box. You happy? I got you a big box.
Because, you know, she doesn't want to do anything for her sister since she didn't help her move. Mm-hmm. And here they all are showing up, to which I seriously want to know who the hell travels in a strapless dress.
And high heels. They're all dressed to the nines. In dresses with their boobs hanging out.
all of them
carrying their luggage.
Yeah.
Actually, the only one is Bree. She's the only one that her boobs aren't hanging out. Nikki looks like she's about to burst out of that dress. Mm-hmm. Trinity's not bad. Natty's out there, but I actually love Natty's look.
Right.
It's very retro.
And here comes Ariane the first time in the show because she's been sick.
With a slit up to her crotch.
Because that's how you travel. She has tonsillitis, yeah, and now she's showing everyone her throat. She don't know if it's contagious or not, and they're asking, "Are you gonna be? Should we be here? You know, can we get sick from just, you know, you breathing?" And now it's the yeast and urinary tract infection talk.
You know, there are just some things that are just way too much information. I'm with Trinity, yeah. TMI. Mm. TMI, honey. Don't need to be knowing that.
And they told her that, you know, we have a match and I had to be here. So that's why I'm here. And then she talks out and it hurts when she pees. And now they're walking around in their high heels, and now they meet the senior director of talent relations, and he's telling them what they're doing. And now we're being told it's going to be the Usos and the Bellas against the Funkadactyls and Tons of Funk. And Trinity's not happening. Like, no, you can't have us fight. No, no, not this week. No, no. And the boss is like, just check your personal stuff at the door. You gotta just check it. Check it.
And, you know, that's a fair statement. This is kind of sort of the road that you walk when you date people you work with. Is if things go south, you've got to learn how to deal with it.
Right.
And I'm not saying they're going to break up or anything, but that's just true for any work environment is, you know, that's the risk you run. And for them, it's even worse because they all travel together, so they're all stuck together.
Mm-hmm. I just found it interesting. It's the Usos and the Bellas versus Tons of Funk and the Funkadactyls. I guess at this point of the taping, the Usos were heels?
I don't know. I think it's on Superstars, isn't it? So it doesn't matter.
But they're teaming with the Bellas, who are heels, so that kind of would mean they were playing the heels, but with their entrance, it was... I don't know.
I couldn't tell you either. All I know is it's one of the tie-in matches that we get, which I actually need to go out and find the full match now.
It's probably available on .com, I would think.
Probably, yeah, just to see the full match.
You would think they would make it available.
But hint, wink, WWE, if you're listening, hint, wink, wink. Make the matches available.
Yeah, it would be smart so, you know, people can follow along.
Just saying.
Because not everyone watches WWE Superstars. Just playing it out.
I don't even know when it's on.
Because it's a web show and, yeah, that sort of thing.
That would explain why I don't know when it's on.
Yeah.
Because it's a web show.
It's a web show. I think it airs Thursdays at like 4 on WWE.com, I think. Or I think that's what it was at one point.
I don't know. I couldn't tell you, sadly. I'm a bad fan like that.
Well, there's too much programming. It's hard to keep up with web shows. Especially when they don't really promote it at all. It's just kind of there.
Yeah, it's just kind of there. It's just like, oh yeah, hey, Superstars, yeah. Yeah, I remember they had that show, yeah.
WWE Superstars usually featuring Zack Ryder, sort of, kind of, maybe.
Not really.
Not really. But Alex Riley's the commentator.
Is that who's commentating? I was trying to figure that out when the show aired on Sunday.
No, not during the Total Divas, that's not him, I don't think.
Oh. Then who's doing the commentary, because I couldn't figure it out.
I'll let you know.
Is Scott Stanford?
I'll let you know as I hear it. It might be Scott Stanford. I would have to rehear the commentary. I think it's Scott Stanford.
I'm pretty sure it's Scott Stanford, but I don't know who does it with him. That's the thing. Because I thought it was Stryker and Stanford.
It might have been at that point. But we'll find out. I'll keep an ear out for it. And we're back.
Hi, Kane.
And now he's informing him it's going to be an 8-person tag of what's going on, and they're like, no, please, no. Please, no. Please. I'm sick. I really feel like doo-doo. Yeah, she said, I feel like doo-doo.
And I love how he's like, you know, I know you do, but guess what? You gotta suck it up and do it.
Right.
But just like, if she's got something contagious, you really want her out in the ring?
I know, right? So I gotta go take care of this thing, so just relax, yeah.
And now Trinity's saying, you know, we've never been up against John, you know, for her entire career. Well, you managed a tag team. Eventually, it was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Just for the height of drama on the show, it just happens to be the week y'all two had a big fight.
Mm-hmm. And Eva Marie and JoJo have their spot right, you know, on the side of the stage. As here come the fucking Actals.
In, well, their old gear.
Mm-hmm. As they finish off their entrance. And here come the Usos. And she's like, I am just pissed.
I'm over it.
Mm-hmm. So over this, and here come the Bellas.
They have never been able to get their ass shaken in sync. Ever. And now we have twin magic times two.
Mm-hmm.
And, oops, somebody's being naughty. Somebody's stroking somebody else's boyfriend.
Yep. And they're like, not this week. Not this week, bitch. Taint the day, bitch.
You don't mess with a girl like Trinity. You don't mess with her. She'll take you down.
That wasn't Scott Stanford. That was, what's his face? Who would the the guy who was on the JB on Call show.
Oh, okay. I know who you're talking about. What's his bucket?
I can't remember his name at this point. But he was the announcer on the JB on Call show.
Yeah.
During the Superstars series thing.
Oh no, and now we have John and Trinity in the ring. It's a mixed tag. What's going to happen?
And now they're explaining that guys and girls aren't supposed to touch each other according to the WWE rule book. And Ariane's like, dun-dun-dun-dun. And then Trinity gives John a hurricanrana, does the whole black girl, yeah, what's up, yo?
He's like, what'd you do that for?
Maybe you'll want to talk now. It's like, I just did that. What you gonna do with the whole head bob thing? What you gonna do about it? The black girl head bob. With the finger wag. I got up all up in your Kool-Aid. What you gonna do about it?
She pretty much did, yeah.
And so how uncomfortable the match was because they're all stressed out.
And basically she pulls the we need to talk.
Mm-hmm.
To which I kind of sit here and just, you know, kind of what we know about the company, and it's, if you know, obviously this is staged for the cameras in more ways than one. But it's like, if she were to do that and break the rules like that, and that wasn't a planned part of the match, she would have been in a lot of trouble.
Right. Which means it was a planned spot.
Yeah, I mean, well, you can tell the way he takes the move is a planned spot.
Mm-hmm. It was a nice spot, kind of.
It was all right. I mean, she needs a little work on it, but yeah, it was a nice spot. But I mean, I would be very curious with the show to find out how much is actual reality versus how much is planned and staged. And I'm sure it's like, you know, 80-20 is
staged.
You know, staged. Mm-hmm. Staged versus real. So it's because, I mean, as far as her being pissed at him and it's like, you got to work a match against him, it's like, well, you know, when he said you got to check it at the door, that's 100% right. It's, you're there, it's like, you're all, you know, you're sitting here professing about the fact that you can't set a date because you want to do your job and blah, 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 but, you know, this is part of your job. Mm-hmm. You have to be professional when you're expected to be professional, and if you have a fight with your boyfriend where he walks out on you, yeah, that sucks. And I understand you're human, and I understand you want to handle it and deal with it, and he's the last person you want to see, but you work in the same place, you're going to cross paths eventually. Sorry. Just deal with it.
Just going to have to deal with it. You're going to have to fight your boyfriend at one point. Especially in the situation you're in, yeah. It was only a matter of time.
Yeah, it's not something of, you know, one of them is down in NXT and the other one is up on the main roster. They're both on the main roster. It's the fact that they haven't crossed paths till now is a little interesting, but then again, I don't think Tons of Funk was a tag team for that long at this point either.
I think they're about 6 months at this point. If not, a little bit longer.
Right.
And we're back for the final few moments. Big pyros and explosions.
Explosions.
JoJo's talking how excited it was to see the Divas match and how exhilarating it was. Very inspired by it. She's talking about how I really want to be here. This is what I want to do, and this is, you know, this made my decision. I'm staying around. I'm not going anywhere.
And they're all excited and happy.
Mm-hmm.
And now, basically, JoJo is kissing Sebastian goodbye, figuratively.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? And she has a sad moment. But you know what? If it's meant to be, honey, he'll come back.
Exactly.
And you may find somebody better. You never know.
You just never know.
You never know what's around the turn, especially in the reality era. And now we have Arianne and Trinity chasing each other backstage.
She's pissed. She's still pissy and, yeah. She's very stressed.
And here's where we find out the issue.
Mm-hmm. By the way, she has some really red lipstick.
That's pink. That's like neon pink.
Neon pink. Well, it's really bright.
Yes.
And now she's talking about how her past boyfriend was cheating on her the entire time, and, you know, it's hurt her.
And she had already committed to somebody else. She'd already committed to him, and then she finds out he was screwing around on her, and that messed everything up for her.
Right.
And Arianne's basically saying, you gotta take the chance. If you love him, you gotta take the chance. And now Trinity basically realizes she's punishing John for her own issues, which isn't fair.
Right. Hot mess. That's our black girl word of the week. Hot mess.
Still not as good as up in your Kool-Aid.
No, no. Now she's apologizing to do so. And he's like, maybe we need to just go, split apart. And she's saying, I don't want that. She's talking all about, she's just afraid. She's afraid of failing in this relationship. No, she's now talking about her past and, you know. Talking about how the other dude was wrong and, you know.
Basically, he says he won't do that to her.
Right, and he's telling her that she's a filet mignon steak.
And he's not going to go eat cheeseburger.
Right. And now she calls him a chicken nugget. Her big chicken nugget. And now they kiss and make up.
And he falls on top of her.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're kicking each other in the ass. Mm-hmm. Which, I'm sorry, they are kind of adorable together.
And now we're going to preview next week of booby implants. And now she can't find her booby implants.
And I love how we get the line already in the preview. Huh, they float. Mm-hmm. Who knew?
Who knew your booby implants float?
Who knew? That's just an amazing line. And next week we find out, basically, you know, the Bella's talking about their weight issues, which I'm going to have, yeah. Tune in next week. Mm-hmm. I may have a rant.
And we get to see Natty and TJ, Tyson Kidd, in, you know, their relationship.
Yes, we finally get the Natty episode. We finally get it.
Or at least one of them. And, you know, she talks about how, you know, since he got hurt, her sex life has gone down the hill. So it'll be interesting.
So let's see how Natty inspires Tyson.
Yes.
And I got nothing.
So that's the preview for next week, folks. That's what you're going to expect. You're going to expect a rant from Lindsay. Boob implants.
And more diva shenanigans.
More divalicious shenanigans right here on the Rack Presents Total Divas.
So, I'm Lindsay. That's Rock. We're going to say goodnight. So, goodnight!
Wildtalkradio.com.